Chapter 1, The Facts. Everyone of a certain age remembers where they were on November 22, 1963. You have absolutely no recollection of the day that preceded it, but you remember in vivid detail that day, or at least parts of it. You remember the weather, the people you were with, and what you were doing when you heard the news. Even those who were not yet born are not unfamiliar with the events of that autumn day when President John F. Kennedy was assassinated in Dallas, Texas, or at least they've heard some version of it. Indeed, this horrific event is shrouded in controversy. The controversy over what really happened and who was responsible has simmered for a half century now, producing countless books, documentaries, feature films, investigations, confessions, and an astonishing array of theories about who did it and why. Some say the CIA did it. Others say the mafia. Others say Vice President Lyndon Johnson was responsible. Still others insist that authorities got it right from the start, that the crime was carried out by a young ex-Marine with an inflated sense of self-importance. Any number of people have confessed to being involved in one way or another, and all present what appears to be compelling evidence to bolster their case. With the advent of the Internet, anyone with a basic knowledge of HTML coding and video editing can have their say on the subject, no matter how outlandish and removed from the facts their theory might be. For that reason, the JFK assassination is now viewed from 100 different vantage points, reducing this monumental crime to a cynical farce in the minds of many. About this murder, what we know is dwarfed by what we don't know. But for anyone trying to make sense of this 50-year-old cold case, the ultimate whodunit, the facts are a good place to start. Kennedy, a Democratic senator from Massachusetts, was elected as the 35th President of the United States in 1960 by the narrowest of margins and faced re-election in 1964. Although he was very popular with the American public, he was not taking anything for granted. Kennedy felt especially vulnerable in the southern states, which had reacted violently to African Americans' struggle for civil rights in the first 3 years of his administration. It is useful to remember that the Democratic Party in 1963 was very different politically than it is today. Southern Democrats were very different from their northern counterparts, and Democratic office holders in the South generally reflected the racist views of their white constituents. Before, during, and after the Civil War, the Democratic Party was the party of the slaveholding South. 100 years later, not a lot had changed. As the civil rights conflict in the South escalated, Kennedy was pressed repeatedly to spend political capital to support the African-American struggle, something he seemed reluctant to do. For example, Democrats in Congress had drafted civil rights legislation, but Kennedy's support was lukewarm since he didn't want to alienate powerful Southern Democrats before an election. In late spring 1963, Texas Governor John Connally, a Democrat and political protege of Vice President Johnson, appealed to Kennedy to visit Texas for a series of political fundraising appearances. Connally told Kennedy that his presence could help mend a rift between the liberal and conservative wings of the party in the state, a rift that could threaten the Democratic ticket in 1964. Curiously, Vice President Johnson, who had been a powerful Texas senator before joining the administration and who continued to hold considerable clout in the state, appeared to have very little direct involvement in planning this trip. While there is some disagreement about whether Kennedy wanted to make the trip, he agreed to go. A month earlier, UN Ambassador Adlai Stevenson had been rudely received, spat upon, and hit with a protest sign on his visit to Dallas. That incident, along with vocal, outspoken criticism of the president by right-wing groups such as the John Birch Society, who thought the president soft on communism, made some inside and outside the administration advise Kennedy to stay home. In August 1963, the President and First Lady, Jacqueline Kennedy, suffered the death of their third child shortly after his birth. By November, Mrs. Kennedy was ready to resume her public role and decided to accompany her husband to Texas. This gave this political outing even more attention. The Kennedys made a dynamic power couple, and the two of them dazzled enthusiastic crowds in Houston, San Antonio, and Fort Worth. Then, late morning on the 22nd, they went to Dallas. Sitting in his Fort Worth hotel suite early on the 22nd, Kennedy looked at a full-page ad in the morning Dallas paper that showed his picture under the heading, Wanted for Treason. "We're heading into nut country now," Kennedy reportedly remarked to his wife. But Kennedy showed no signs of letting his detractors get under his skin. The trip had gone very well, and he seemed to be energized by the clearly enthusiastic crowds of ordinary Texans who clamored to see him and especially the First Lady.